Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 2031, with the release date of Friday, September 30th, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Devil's Tower National Monument is activated in Wyoming. Maine's first YL turns 108. And the International Space Station prepares for a radio upgrade. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 2031 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week's newscast in Wyoming, the latest stop in a series of national park activations by a ham radio family hitting the road. Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, caught up with the father and son at Devil's Tower.
Most families, when planning a road trip, try to come up with games to play on the road, like find the road sign or name that car, or singing a song like 99 bottles of beer on the wall until you can't take it anymore. Unless you're a ham radio family, that is, like David Hellman, WD7I, and his father, Sandy, K7FRG. They recently planned a family road trip and, instead of games, planned a string of National Parks on the Air activations. I caught up with them right after they had finished activating Devil's Tower National Monument in Wyoming. I asked them about their trip.
My dad and I we're just finishing up a 2-week trip where we drove from Wisconsin out all the way to Yellowstone to meet my sister and her partner there. And we spent a week out there, but on the way to Yellowstone and on the way back, we chose some of the national park units to activate, and Devil's Tower was the 9th out of the 10 that we're going to be doing. We're doing one more today on our way home.
I asked Hellman how the activation at Devil's Tower went.
Oh, it was great. It was a beautiful sight. We had a nice view of the monument, and we, in 45 minutes, made 90 contacts.
What was your furthest one away?
Let's see. We had Honolulu yesterday. We haven't had many Hawaiis. Along our trip, we've had some from Croatia and France. Not too many DX stations, but yesterday the farthest, I think, was Honolulu.
What did the Hellmans enjoy most about their road trip?
Oh, my dad and I really enjoyed it, just, of course, being at the parks. And it's nice to be able to go to all these beautiful parks and have a nice activity and amateur radio to do there to enjoy it. So we really enjoyed the combination of the activations and the beauty of the parks.
The ARRL's National Parks on the Air program is rapidly coming to a close. But based on all of the stories we've been hearing over the past months, it is succeeding in not only celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service, but also in getting hams out of their shacks and into the beautiful parts of our country. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
If you were lucky enough to land a contact with N8V, the special event station of the National Tribal Amateur Radio Association, you know what the excitement was all about. If you missed them, well, listen up and start planning for next year. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
The week of September 19 marked 5 days of first for the National Tribal Amateur Radio Association. The growing organization, which assists American Indians with amateur radio on tribal lands, operated its first special event station, N8V, from the National Tribal Emergency Management Conference in Lemoore, California. The station had the support of the Tulare County Amateur Radio Club and the Fresno County Ares Group, both of which provided equipment and operators for the 20-meter operation. NTARA's national president, Nathan Nixon, N7NAN, said that the special QSL cards commemorating the event will be sent soon to the 380 successful contacts made both on single sideband and PSK31. Operators worked with a Yaesu FT897 and FL Digi for PSK31 and used a Yaesu FT897 and FT450D for phone. The operation made use of a three-element beam and some vertical antennas and some enthusiastic operators. Grateful but tired, Nathan directs all questions now to the QRZ page for W7NTV as well as Facebook and Twitter. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
We'd now like to wish a happy birthday to Mary Cousins. Happy birthday to the woman once known as W1GSC. These wishes come a few days late, but then turning 108, as the Maine resident did this past September 20th, has likely cultivated a lot of patience for this retired librarian. Mary Cousins was the first woman in the state of Maine to become a licensed radio amateur, a feat she accomplished in 1933, when her name was Mary Sybil Wallace, and she was 24 years old. The licensing authority back then was the Federal Radio Commission, an entity that did not even exist in 1908, the year she was born. Even though it has been some time since she operated as W1GSC, Mary did enjoy a sweet moment with her old call sign. The likeness of her license decorated the dessert at her party in Deer Isle, Maine. In fact, you might say it was the icing on the cake. In the UK, one special presentation is about to celebrate the role the International Space Station has had with thousands of youngsters. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
Take the number 10 and multiply it many times over. That is, in fact, what happened this year with hundreds, if not thousands, of schoolchildren in the UK who experienced one of the 10 radio contacts with the International Space Station astronaut Tim Peake, GB1SS, during his Principia mission. The youngsters' experience will be the subject of a presentation on Saturday the 8th of October by Susan Buckle, the UK Space Agency's Astronaut Flight Education Programme Support Manager, when she speaks at the Radio Society of Great Britain's convention. The convention takes place from the 7th to the 9th of October. She and Kieran Morgan, M0XTD, will discuss the 10 ARIS school contacts with the astronaut, exchanges which sparked interest in amateur radio among the young in a new and meaningful way. The two will also present an RSGB video about the contacts at the schools, where many of the student participants were already newly licensed amateurs. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
All those ARIS radio contacts are about to get a little bit better, thanks to an upgrade in the works. Here's Newsline's Neil Rep, WB9VPG.
The International Space Station is in the final stages of getting an upgrade. For some time, the radio equipment on board the station has needed to be replaced. While new equipment has been graciously donated, significant funding has been needed for testing, certification, and delivery of the equipment to make sure it meets NASA standards. And the post office, well, doesn't have free two-day shipping to the space station. Frank Bauer, KA3HTO, the ARIS International Program Chair, explains the details.
Basically, the interoperable radio system we're developing for the International Space Station will have both the JVC Kenwood D710 radio in it, which will provide higher power and more capability for both these schools, make the contacts more robust as well as for the hams on the ground. Also, as part of that, we're developing a multi-voltage power supply that will support not only the new radio system, but more capabilities for the future that we are planning on deploying on space station. So it's actually going to be something for not only the present, but for the future. And also, we're working with NASA and the other space agencies to certify this across all of space stations. It's very expensive to test and certify to NASA and the other space agency standards. And so, you know, it's way over $100,000, almost $200,000 to make this happen. At the AMSAT.org website, we have a donate button for ARIS. Anybody that donates $100 or more gets the specially developed ARIS challenge coin.
Corporate donors should contact Frank Bauer directly at ka3hdo@verizon.net. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W5AW, the Big Springs Amateur Radio Club repeater, in Big Spring, Texas, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Great news if you're a fan of TV's Last Man Standing and also a fan of D-Star. You'll get to enjoy both on the air on Tuesday, October 11th. That's one of the nights the crew shoots the ABC sitcom and two special guests, Ed Woodrick, WA4YIH, and Amy Woodrick, KE4IKF, will be visiting KA6LMS, the set in Studio City, California, during the crew's dinner break. Ed and Amy will be on D-Star via Reflector 30C while seated in the office of the show's main character, Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, played by Tim Allen. So be listening. The fun should last an hour and start at about 22:45 UTC. The North American QRP CW Club needs help for its on-air anniversary event. We hear more from Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
It's not quite a distress call being sent in CW, but a definite call for help is being transmitted by the North American QRP CW Club. The group is planning its anniversary event on October 10th through October 16th and has learned that a number of the volunteer operators had to back out of their commitments due to health matters and scheduling conflicts. So they're hoping a few amateurs, particularly in Districts 5, 6, and 9, will want to step forward, paddles at the ready, to work as N5 Alpha, N6 Alpha, and N9 Alpha. Operating schedules are flexible, according to the group's president, Paul, N8XMS, and even if an operator can give only an hour or two during the week, that will suit the game plan fine. Paul also noted that hams must be members of the NAQCC. They can use their regular gear operating QRP in CW all week and submit logs and summary information later. To get details and contact information, you can visit them at naqcc.info. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
The call sign K2BSA has three more locations on the air this week. Here's more from Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in radio scouting, we have three activations of the K2BSA call sign in Iowa, New Jersey, and Ohio. Mike Miller, AC0BD, will be the control operator for the Portable Zero station at Scout Jam held at Camp Matigua in Boone, Iowa, on October 8th from 1400 to 2100 UTC. Scout Jam will feature dozens of activities for hundreds of scouts, Tiger through Eagle, and celebrates the 100-year anniversary of scouting in central Iowa. Operators, including those from the Ankeny Centennial High School Amateur Radio Association, AC0HS, will be active on 20-meter voice. Gary Wilson, K2GW, will be the control operator for the Portable 2 station at Scout Fest 2016 in Lambertville, New Jersey, on October 8th from 1300 to 1930 UTC. This all-council event expects attendance at 4,000 participants. The Washington Crossing Council Radio Scouting Committee will have the station active on 20 and 40 meters. Eric Cosey, KD8ZSO, will be the control operator for the Portable 8 station at the Peter Look Camperee in Loveland, Ohio, on October 8th from 1400 to 2100 UTC. Hosted by the Dan Beard Council, this biannual event will host 5,500 scouts and scouters and has been in operation since 1927. The Westchester Amateur Radio Association and the Butler County Radio Association will be on the air on 40, 20, and 2-meter bands, as well as having a fox hunt. And remember, Jamboree on the Air is the weekend of October 14th through the 16th. Contact your local radio club, scouting council, or district and see what you can do to help make the 59th JOTA a success. For more information on K2BSA, JOTA resources, and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For the Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Hams are being honored on both sides of the Atlantic. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, with the details.
Dave Dean, EI9FBB, a devoted de-expeditioner, IOTA activator, and chaser, has been given the prestigious Clipperton Award of Distinction for his contributions to amateur radio, most particularly his three new IOTA activations accomplished with other IOTA groups. They are NA-247, AF-119, and AS-202. Dave was given the honor recently during Clipperton's 38th convention in Brest, Brittany, where he spoke on the subject of IOTA. Dave had been nominated for this award during the Ham Radio Fair in Friedrichshafen, where he also gave a presentation on IOTA. Meanwhile, in New York, four amateurs are being honored for their contributions by the ARRL's Hudson Division. The annual awards luncheon will be hosted by the Orange County Amateur Radio Club at the Ramada Cafe International in Newburgh, New York, on November 5th. The Amateur of the Year award goes to Lee Hatfield, K2HAT, and three other amateurs have been declared Grand Ole Hams. They are Andy Bodney, K2LE, Gordon Shacklett, KB2SSZ, and Joe Dreyfus, W2KQ. Luncheon tickets are $37 and can be ordered now. Proceeds will go to the ARRL Legislative Issues Advocacy Fund. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
In the world of DX, Polish operators will be operating from Central Kiribati starting on 4th October for about 4 weeks. The call sign will be T31T, and they'll be on all bands 80 to 6 meters. Send QSL cards via Club Log OQRS. Stan, LZ1GC, and Emil, DL8JJ, will use the call sign H44GC from the Solomon Islands until October 3rd. Listen for them anywhere between 160 and 10 meters on CW, SSB, and RTTY. QSL Manager LZ1GC. New Zealand amateur operators will be active from Norfolk Island as VK9NZ until the 8th of October. They hope to have three stations on the air operating simultaneously. Send QSL cards to ZL3PAH. Logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. We end this week's newscast with this simple message. If you are hungry, really hungry, for a good radio contact, this report from Graham Kemp, VK4BB, is just for you.
What's the recipe for a good QSO? Perhaps the question really ought to be, where do you find a QSO for a good recipe? Why Hunt 20 metres, of course, Monday nights. That's where you'll find ROTA. That's R-O-T-A for Recipes on the Air. This is a weekly net in Australia that really cooks, whether the food prep method is boiling, roasting or baking. Begun in May 2012 by Bruce ZD7VC, the on-air gathering immediately follows the ANZA DXNet, as it did at the very start when Bruce's YL Charmaine, ZD7A, began one day to chat about food with Lynn, VK4SWE. Lynn told Newsline in an email, and I quote, "It was fun to chat with another YL and learn of different styles of cuisine, and we exchanged recipes by email. We soon discovered that many of the ANZA OMs had XYLs who were licensed but not very active," end quote. Soon, Bridget ZS1V and Sue ZS1AFR joined in, as did others, some of whom lived on rare IOTA destinations. The fickleness of propagation adds spice to the whole activity, of course, and Lynn says that Monday nights have never been the same. The group starts checking in around 0630 UTC after the ANZA DXNet on 14.183. They'll chew the rag and then plan on chewing whatever else they've got on the stovetop or in the oven to share. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Allen Labs, ARDF World Championships, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the Ellsworth American, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, John Amadeo, NN6JA, K2BSA, National Tribal Amateur Radio Association, North American QRPCW Club, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, USS Oklahoma and USS Batfish Amateur Radio Club, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline. Send emails to arnewsline.org. More information at our official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.